Blog Talk Radio.
Sweat Show. This is the weekend update. We are live right now. It's going to be a quick show, and then we're going to get out of here. Just going to go over some of the news concerning some of the 1A action going on and the 1AA action. And then again, quick show today. We will be back for a full show on Tuesday. But this is your weekend update. First thing, before we even get into any of the scores, what was posted on the forums, if you haven't already seen it, there is a new site up, the Wilkinson Weekly. The website for that is wilkinsonweekly.webs.com. And it's just a little news site that somebody decided to put up. So, and his name is just the guy. That's his username. Anyways, I encourage everyone to go check out that site. And hopefully we can get some action flowing in there. I'll have one other user step up and start doing things like this. Listen, the more of this that happens, the better this game becomes. I mean, I'm serious. This is what makes this game so special, and this is why I started the blog, and it's why I started the radio show. When people step up and decide to contribute like this, this is what makes the world so much fun to play in. And I know a lot of people like to complain about the game and, you know, complain about the engine and things like that, but when you have these types of things happening, it makes it real. It makes it feel like it's actually it's something real, and it makes the wins even that much more meaningful. So this adds drama to it. I think it's going to be great. We're going to find a way to hook up some stuff with the blog to that website. See if we can help him out a little bit, and hopefully we can partner together and establish a good working relationship and, you know, connect it too. I really like that other people are stepping up. I had actually considered next season looking for a couple of people for the blog and take care of the Twitter account, frankly, because I've got too much to worry about between this and, you know, everything else. So the show is just taking up so much time, and I'm glad to do it. Love doing it, but it takes a lot of time. Okay, so let's get to some of the games real quick. Some of the games that happened today: UMass just surpasses JMU. I have been on the bandwagon for JMU for the past couple of seasons. I think that team is on its way up. And listen, that has been a slow rebuild. A lot of these coaches come in and they build a team. And, you know, I did this too. I came into Morehead State and instantly we were competitive. And that's one way to do it. You can do that. Other coaches come in, though, and they kind of slowly build a team up. And those coaches tend to, once they get their team built up, they tend to have an outstanding amount of success. And if you look at Pete, he wasn't extremely successful right away at Jacksonville State. It took a while to build that team, to develop that roster. And it took him a while to actually get to a point where he was making playoffs consistently and then competing consistently in playoffs and then getting to the championship as much as he has. Those slow rebuilds that are consistently better season in and season out, those are the teams to really watch, I think. So I've been a big fan of what JMU has been doing for the past couple of seasons. I think they're on the way up. They're one of the better teams right now in the A-10. And they gave UMass a real scare. I think if they met again, that score may not be the same. JMU might actually finish it off. Jacksonville, tell you what, that was a close game today too. Came right down to the last couple of minutes. And Coastal Carolina actually held a small lead with just a few minutes to go. And then Jacksonville forces a turnover, scores, forces a three and out, and scores again, and it ends up winning by 10 in 1A action today. Alabama just rolled. Alabama got rolled by LSU 49-14, and then USC ends up beating Arizona State 20-17, which sounds really close, but it was 17-9 in the third. USC scored a field goal right at the start of the fourth quarter to take a 20-9 lead. And again, that USC defense, it's just incredibly stout. I mean, they are so tough to beat. And Arizona State just could not move the ball on them, which, you know, listen, that's what makes them so tough. USC doesn't have the offense, but that defense will win a lot of games for them, and that's what's going on right now. Holy Cross and Yale played in 1AA this past week, or over the weekend. And listen, I thought it was going to be a low-scoring, close game. They had over 100 points scored. Combined, they had more than 1,000 yards, and Holy Cross ended up winning by about 20 points. But really, you say a 20-point win, and when you get a game that high scoring, it's really not as big of a win, as big of a margin as it sounds. I mean, it's 20 points, but I mean, they were getting 20 points in a matter of a quarter. So that's really about a 10-point game. But when you look at the rest of these scores, anytime two teams combine for over 100 points and over 1,000 yards, that's a lot of offense. That is a ton of offense. And so right now, you look at the WIS rankings. We're going to talk a lot about 1A and the WIS rankings over the next couple of days as the regular season winds down. And then once we get into the postseason is really when 1AA kicks up. Because really in 1AA, the big discussion is about if you're getting in. That's the hardest part to determine right now is which teams are getting in. But because the field is so deep, I mean, listen, Jacksonville State's ranked 19th. Right now they're looking at like a 5 seed for this thing. That team probably wins their region. But you could potentially have a region with Morehead State, UMass, Brown, Mississippi Valley State, and Jacksonville State all in the same region. That's how deep this is right now. And I'm not saying that we're going to get a region like that, but I'm saying if that region happens, which it could, those two teams could fill out 1 through 5 seeds. If they all end up in the same region, that's going to be just a gauntlet. I mean, it's going to be so incredibly tough. So right now, these seedings, we've reached a point where these seedings really don't mean a thing. You could be a 1 seed and meet up with a team that I think is very tough, like an East Tennessee State. You could be a 2 seed and face Coastal Carolina in the first round, who already gave Jacksonville a scare. You could be a 3 seed and see a team like Dayton or Northern Iowa in the first round. I mean, none of these top seeds are really going to have that big of an advantage. Everything's going to be very relative in 1AA. Now, 1A, on the other hand, is really where the talk is going to heat up. And a couple of days ago, my prediction was Florida State, Boston College, winner of that game goes on. That could very well happen. But I tell you who is poised right now for a really strong run at this championship game is the winner of that Tennessee-Florida game. Because the winner of the Tennessee-Florida game, first of all, besides facing each other, neither of those two teams has a very tough game left. But they both played an incredibly tough schedule. So their strength of schedule isn't going to go down much either. They'll play each other. If Florida even remains at 5th heading into that game, if they beat Tennessee, they will move up to 1st or 2nd. Now, the winner of Tennessee-Florida will still have to play in the SEC Championship and likely against LSU, who I think is also very tough. But I tell you, the SEC right now is very, very interesting with LSU sitting in there at 9th. They have a game with Auburn and Arkansas. Listen, their strength of schedule is going to get better. Their WIS ranking probably will get up to about 7th. If there's an upset at the top, let's say Minnesota gets dropped or Penn State loses, or something like that happens, then LSU is a real outlier for this thing. But LSU has the schedule. If they roll through the rest of their schedule and win the SEC, listen, I don't like their chances, but they aren't completely out of this thing yet either. And by the way, the people look at LSU and they go, okay, well, they're 9th. They are 9th, but their WIS points is just at 7.5. And first place is at 0.02. So this is not – second place, by the way, is at 0.99. So the difference between LSU and second place is 6.5 points. That is not what it's been in the past. 6.5 points is very, very easy to overcome if you're LSU. Very, very easy. So, listen, I don't like their chances, but I'm looking at it right now, and they have very good chances. I really like the winner of Tennessee and Florida. I really like the winner of Florida State and Boston College. I still don't think any of that matters if Minnesota wins out. Minnesota right now controls their own destiny, as does Tennessee. Boston College, if they go undefeated, and so does Minnesota and so does Tennessee. See, that's the interesting thing. That's what's interesting. If all three of those teams go undefeated, then I really don't know who gets in. I would say Tennessee and Minnesota. But, I mean, Boston College, assuming they go undefeated, would mean a win over number 8 Florida State. I mean, this thing, listen, it's really, really close. So Minnesota does get two top 15 teams. The biggest problem with Minnesota is this game they have coming up with Northwestern, because Northwestern is ranked 101st. So what will be interesting to watch is after tomorrow. So Minnesota plays Northwestern. So if Minnesota drops down to say, if they drop below Boston College in the rankings, then I think Boston College winning out. No, wait, Boston. No, hold on. Okay, I'm getting confused here. I'm looking back at Minnesota's schedule. Let's look at who Boston College plays. So Boston College, 44-68, 8th-19. Well, Boston College also gets to Clemson. So sorry. By the way, I didn't do a ton of research for the show today. Just to be honest with you, it's a weekend update. Tennessee. Okay, I would say looking at the rest of the schedules, Tennessee absolutely controls their own destiny. Minnesota and Boston College, it's going to depend on how far they fall after they play Northwestern and Clemson respectively, and then if they win out. And then Florida State, who I think has a real chance at this, Florida State, they still have to play Clemson tomorrow, and then they get Boston College, and then they get 90th ranked NC State. So Florida State has a chance, but they need both Tennessee and Minnesota to lose. That to me is the only way Florida State gets in now. So Boston College, I think, has a great chance if they beat Florida State. Minnesota has two very tough teams left to play, along with the ACC championship or Big Ten championship. The problem right now with Boston College and Florida State that wasn't the case on Thursday is Miami lost. So what this means now is that the winner of Boston College and Florida State, which will go on to play in the ACC championship, won't have to play a Miami team that's ranked in the lower 20s. I thought that Miami team might be a top 15, top 10 team. So, if you take the perspective from Boston College, let's say they beat Florida State, that's a top 10 team, and then they beat Miami, another top 10, top 15 team, then that's where I thought the winner of the Boston College Florida State game would almost be a shoo-in. But then Miami lost, and that threw this whole thing off. California also lost, which I thought would hurt Florida's chances. It maybe did a little bit, but I don't think it hurts them too much. I do not like that loss by Florida. I don't like it. But I mean, if they roll through the rest of the schedule, which includes 24th ranked South Carolina tomorrow, and then first ranked Tennessee, and then if they beat LSU, then I really like Florida's chances. So as long as Tennessee and Florida don't slip up, then the winner of that game, if they beat LSU, gets in. LSU has a chance, but they probably need Minnesota and Boston College to lose. I'm telling you, this thing right now in 1A, it's completely wide open. Ohio State and Penn State, they don't control their own destinies, but they do play each other, which makes, oh my goodness, this thing is just ridiculous. Those two teams are going to play each other, which will help out their strength of schedules. And the WIS points, again, it's really close. I think Tennessee controls their own destiny. The rest of these teams might seriously just be left up to the WIS rankings. This is the closest I have ever seen a 1A. I mean, last season I said Rutgers LSU, and I felt very good about that. The only thing that was really concerning me was Rutgers getting through Pittsburgh, LSU getting through Florida, in the SEC championship. But I still felt those two teams were strongly favored going into those games. So last season, I felt confident with that when I said that prediction at, like, I think week 11 into the season or something. I felt very confident with that. This season, I honestly, I have no idea. I think right now, if you look at if you look at the 1A race, I think you seriously have about 8 teams that can contend for this thing. I don't think Navy has a chance. And I don't think Syracuse has a chance. Yeah, Navy definitely doesn't have a chance. Three teams above WIS ranking 92 above 100, and then the other teams ranked 85th and they're winless, and that's who they play tomorrow. So Navy, listen, I love that team. They're good enough to play in that game and be competitive, but they don't have a chance getting into this thing. I mean, this is going to be a wild ride at 1A throughout the rest of the season. There are still plenty of good games to play out. I don't remember 1A being this close. And you've got two great teams, by the way, not even in the top 10 in Nebraska and Texas. And they don't have a chance. They really don't. This was the problem I said Texas was going to have coming into the season. They just don't play anybody. Now they do. If you look at Texas, the one thing they don't have the rest of the season is they don't have an easy game the rest of the season. They don't have a bad game the rest of the season. They have 17th Oklahoma State. Then they have Baylor, Texas Tech, Oklahoma. And then presumably they'll play Nebraska in the Big 12 championship. So, but again, I just don't see how that's going to be enough for them to – I just don't see them having enough to overcome an 18-point deficit in the WIS rankings and being ranked 16th. It's a tough schedule, but it's not that tough, especially when everybody else also has a tough schedule. I mean, this thing is wide open this season. I honestly don't remember this at all. I really don't. Tomorrow, by the way, there are definitely some great games going on. Oregon, California, and 1A, I think, is going to be a dandy. UCLA and USC will be good. UCLA has given them some problems in the past. In the ACC, Maryland to play Boston College. Maryland is the team that beat Miami 34-31. So, listen, I think Maryland could really give them a scare. And those are one of those games where if there's an upset, they could completely change the landscape of this championship race. Oklahoma State and Texas play tomorrow. That'll be a good game. Pitt and UConn play each other. And then Syracuse and Rutgers also take each other on in some Big East action. And how about Rutgers? In the championship game last season, and now they're 4-5, and if they don't get this win tomorrow, they would fall to 4-6, and really, there's a solid chance they wouldn't make a bowl game. I've never seen a team fall off like that. Big Ten, Notre Dame, and Penn State play tomorrow. Let's get to the SEC, Florida and South Carolina, Alabama, Auburn. So nothing really going on there. Nothing going on in the WAC. Going through some games here. I told you I really didn't prepare for the show. It's so cold here. We're supposed to get 8 to 12 inches of snow tomorrow. 8 to 12 inches of snow. So I listen. I've been getting firewood and getting things ready to stay warm. Tomorrow, by the way, Gateway has a really good game. Southeastern Louisiana to play Northern Iowa. That game is huge in the Gateway Conference. The winner of that game likely will play in the Gateway Championship against Southern Illinois. So those two teams play each other tomorrow. The line is set at 15.5 favoring Southern Illinois. It's not going to be that ugly. It's not. That is a crazy line. Give me the points on that game. Goodness. I'm going to try and get back to the spreading five at some point. I just have not had time to go through all the games, but that line set at 15.5 for tomorrow, points with Northern Iowa. And I think Northern Iowa probably edges them out 24-21. Northern Iowa's a solid defense. They have some trouble moving the ball, but they have a solid defense. Southeastern Louisiana, by the way, if they win that game tomorrow, that's a real team. Not much going on in the Ivy tomorrow or the MEAC. Nothing in the Northeast. Ohio Valley has Tennessee Tech in Eastern Illinois. That may just decide a division. It will. So the winner of that game likely will play Jacksonville State or Southeast Missouri. Basically Jacksonville State. No offense there. Just basically Jacksonville State in the Ohio Valley Championship. So that game between Tennessee Tech and Eastern Illinois is going to fly a little bit under the radar. That's an important game to watch. Eastern Illinois, by the way, they don't have anything secure for playoffs. So if they win that game tomorrow, that would probably lock them into a playoff spot. If they lose and fall to 6-4, that's going to make things really difficult on this playoff run for them. Because they're going to get two teams with a WHIS ranking of over 80 and then Tennessee Martin at 49th. Yeah, Eastern Illinois needs to win tomorrow, and I like that team. I like Babcock. I thought last season when they upset UMass in the first round, that was incredible. But right now, they are in a must-win situation tomorrow. Playoffs start tomorrow for them. They have to win that game, I think. They play Tennessee Tech. That'll be a great game. In the PFL, Dayton to play Drake to decide that North, or at least to give another contender in that North Division. Right now, leading the North Division is San Diego at 3-1. In conference play, that PFL is just, it's a gauntlet all the way around. It is so incredibly tough. San Diego does lead that division, but they're going to have a tough time winning it. They still have to play Drake, Butler, and Dayton, who have all played really good so far this season. Nothing is secure there for them. So they have to get through the rest of that. Southern Conference tomorrow, nothing really going on there. And then in the Southwestern Conference, not much going on there, although keep an eye on Texas Southern, who struggled today against Liberty, only winning by a touchdown. They play Prairie View A&M tomorrow. Grambling State is rolling through at 8-1. I like that team. But Pant Show, he needs to call in and tell me how to pronounce his name. He's such a historical coach, but I cannot figure that name out for the life of me. Right now they're ranked 20th. That team has a history of losing games that they should probably win. They only have one loss on the season, which is the California State, and it's really the only real team that they've played. Truthfully, up to this point, I like what Grambling State has done, and if they roll through the rest of their schedule and beat Texas Southern, that's a team that will be flying in under the radar for playoffs. I mean, I don't think anybody's really discounting them. Western Kentucky, by the way, I like what they're doing right now. First-year coaches, by the way, have had a history of really giving some strong runs in this thing. Western Kentucky's biggest problem, however, if I can get these WHIS rankings to load. Let's see. Goodness, where are you? You guys are all the way down at 60th in the WHIS ranking. Wow. That's surprising. You know, Western Kentucky is very, very good. I would say they probably don't have any shot at playoffs right now. And I hate to say that because I like that team. But Southern Illinois would have to get upset by some team ranked 90th or worse. And this, by the way, if you're looking at Southern Illinois as a one seed, this is why they won't get it. Here's a list of the rankings of the next teams they play. 111th, 60th, 98th, 102nd. Southern Illinois is going to fall out of a one-seed contention, maybe a two-seed contention, even if they go undefeated. They might come back up to two-seed contention after winning the Gateway, assuming they win the Gateway. But if they don't and they fall to 12-1 with a bad strength of schedule, that's probably a three-seed. So Southern Illinois looks really good right now, but this is as good as they're going to look the whole season. And starting tomorrow, their strength of schedule is going to start to drop off the face of the earth. So that's their biggest problem that I can see right now. I do like Western Kentucky, though. I don't see any chance of you beating Southern Illinois, and then I don't see any chance of Southern Illinois also losing a game after that. So, you know, listen, you're in a rebuild. Continue to work there. Continue to build your vision up. You'll get there eventually. We are reaching a point, by the way, where it is incredibly difficult to get into playoffs. You have to schedule right. You have to win the right games. These playoff spots aren't just automatic if you're a human coach anymore. I mean, it used to be we'd have two or three humans just not make playoffs. Now we've got a significant amount that probably won't make it, and we've got good coaches that aren't going to get in, and some of the coaches that are getting in are really just getting in because they've had the right, not the hardest, not the easiest, but the right schedule that has allowed them to get in. That is how difficult this thing is. People are going to have to get strategic with their scheduling just to get in the playoffs. Jacksonville State's a 5 seed again, right now, that team wins out and they're a 4 or 5 seed. That is how tough this is. And they're going to go undefeated most likely. So, I mean, listen, this thing, it used to be incredibly difficult to get a 1 seed, but a lot of teams could win up enough to get a 2 or a 3 seed. Now we're getting to the point where any of these 4 or 5 seeds are going to have chances to make some real runs. And we're getting to that point where just getting into playoffs is an accomplishment. It's tough to be that way. I love the competition we're getting into. And I mean, 1A, it's like winning the lottery to get into that championship game now. I mean, you're going to have some team, Boston College or Florida State, go undefeated and knock it in. That is incredible what's going on up there. I know we've got more coaches that are going to be joining soon. It's just going to get more difficult. Again, so before we go here, Wilkinson Weekly is up, wilkinsonweekly.webs.com. We'll be trying to work out some things over the next few weeks to establish a good working relationship there and it really work off of each other. I think that will make the world even more fun. Some big games tomorrow. I'm going to update the power rankings tomorrow. Hopefully, I'll get some time to update bracketology and bowlology as well. I think it's just fascinating what is going on in 1A. I really think it's going to be fun to watch. By the way, D1AA conference ratings closed in a little bit. Ivy is caught up with the PFL. They are now within 2 points, right at about 1-3 points behind the PFL. And those two conferences are significantly better than everybody else in the country. So, listen, I want to thank everybody for joining us today. Great show today. We will be back next week, hopefully, to have a few guests on for you. This is the Wilkinson Sports Radio Network.